This is Senior Talk, presented by Gentle Shepherd Home Care on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Senior Talk, the longest running and most listened to Senior Talk radio show in Colorado, right here and only on KRDO, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. I'm Dan Wilson with Gentle Shepherd Home Care, your host of Senior Talk. Senior Talk is brought to you by Affordable Medical Supply, available at affordablemedmart.com or 719-632-4036, and Gentle Shepherd Home Care, available at gshc.com or 719-359-8371. This week, we are going to have a bit of a flashback to Kent Matthews with the Area Council of Governments talking with Greg Koopman from December of 22. Kent is going to be a guest again on Senior Talk on the 19th of September discussing meaning and purpose. So without further ado, Kent Matthews and Greg Koopman.
Thanks for coming back on today's show. Kent was on the program not too long ago, actually June 26th. We had him on the program to talk about some interesting information, and we're going to kind of do part two today on that. Yep. But Kent, for listeners who may not have heard you on the show in the past, and you've certainly been on a handful of times over the years, take a few moments to share with our listeners just a little bit about your background and what drove you to doing what it is you do today.
So my background is I've been a master-degreed social worker for the last 30 years, started in hospice care, did that for 15 years, and then 15 years ago I went over to the Area Agency on Aging to do the Family Caregiver Support Center program. And what I learned after starting at the Area Agency on Aging is that all of the work I had done as a hospice social worker trained me for what I'm doing at the Area Agency on Aging in terms of supporting family caregivers and helping them figure out this whole, what I call the puzzle of caregiving.
The puzzles, absolutely. Well, you know, we had you on the program last month, and we explored, you know, what I'll call the intricacies, the puzzle of being a family caregiver, right. And really the transformation that occurs with ourselves as a family caregiver, which right. is why we wanted to get you back onto the show, because we're going to dive much deeper into this complex topic. I don't think there's any easy way to navigate it, and probably not a one-size-fits-all as far as a way to navigate it. I want to say for listeners who missed your last appearance on the show, you can go to krdo.com, click on the radio tab, head to the podcast section, and you'll find Kent on our show, which is Senior Talk on June 26th. So that's a good way to get some extra information on that first part of our conversation. Most importantly, what I want to get out there, since we last spoke, you've added a what I'll call a class, but an educational event that we're calling Caregiving, a Journey That Transforms, and that's with Pillar, which is Pillar Institute for Lifelong Learning. That's coming up in August. Tell our listeners more about this event.
So it's going to be a class. The Pillar for Lifelong Learning is a wonderful place for seniors to go and just have all kinds of continuing education events kind of a thing. And I have over the years presented different classes on the topics of caregiving. One of them was the puzzle of caregiving. Another one I did just recently was Dying to Live, which talked about the emotional stuff that comes with the caregiving. And so this one, the journey into caregiving, is about how caregiving transforms both the caregiver and the care receiver. And it's like a dance. And the dance can go well or the dance can go poorly based on everybody's awareness of what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's going to be August 3rd, I think, at 10 o'clock. It's about an hour and a half.
August 3rd, 10 o'clock. Pillar Institute, that's P-I-L-L-A-R Institute.org, I know has more information on that, as well as other, you know, educational classes that they have. As you mentioned, a great nonprofit here that really is dedicated to that community, that involvement, engagement with each other, and that ongoing learning or desire to learn.
Yep.
Who is this class designed for? I mean, who are you really hoping to target?
So hoping to target family members who are struggling. And real briefly, before I came over to the studio, had a conversation with a caregiver on the phone, and she's planning on moving Dad from Montana to Colorado Springs. And she broke down in tears over the phone because Dad has dementia and he has anger issues and whatnot, and she has a young family, and she doesn't want to move him into her home. And so there's a lot of emotional issues attached, a lot of societal family expectations of what caregivers are supposed to do, and she wasn't meeting those expectations, and she thought she was failing Dad and her family by not meeting those expectations. And so that's what this whole course is about, is to talk about those emotional expectations and how it changes everybody, but how, as a family member, you are a caregiver, even though you're not doing the physical care, but you're there to support. It's more about being on the journey with your family member rather than doing the caregiving.
Let me ask you this, and this is a question I don't think I've asked before. You know, we cover family caregivers a lot and the intricacies that go with it. Is it okay to say no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because we have that guilt that goes with it. We have that responsibility, or at least that sense of responsibility to live up to the expectations of our parents or of our family tradition, right? This is something that used to happen a lot, and I think we're kind of shifting back towards that way,
right,
where the aging adults, the baby boomer population, is caring for their aging parents, and that's becoming more of a norm again. But if that's not for me, for whatever reason, is it okay to say no?
Yes, it is okay to say no. And I wish more, and I am one of them, I wish more boomers were to have the conversation with their parents, with their adult children, to say, this is what I've done. This is how I've set up the money. This is everything I've done. I don't want you to be responsible for providing the physical care for me. I want this, I'll go like going into assisted living or do this, but I don't have the expectation of you providing the care. The expectation I have is that I want you to be on the journey with me, because I may be, whether it's dementia or physical limitations, I may not be able to understand how caregiving and care has changed. And so I want you to be on that journey with me, but I'm not expecting you to do the care. But what I need most as a parent is for you to know that you've got my back, that you're there with me on the journey, helping me to figure things out.
Interesting. Now, how important is it to have this conversation? Because, you know, we've talked about, you know, you got to have your will in place and your desires and your wishes and who's going to be your power of attorney to make those decisions in the event that you can't. But how important is it to integrate? And I haven't really thought about that before, to integrate the actual conversation of, if I get older and need care, this is what I want it to look like.
Right, right. That's a very important conversation, but it's a very difficult one to have, because most people don't know what's going to be happening as they get older, because we all hold this idealized version of how we want to age.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that involves being dependent on other people.
Right.
It always involves, I'm independent, self-sufficient, I don't need your help, thank you very much. And it also involves the fact of, there's going to be one night where I lay down in bed and I don't wake up. Okay. But it never happens that way.
No.
There's always a period of debility, but we don't know what that debility is going to look like, because we don't know what's going to be happening to create the debility. Is it going to be from chronic illnesses? Is it going to be from a fall? Is it going to be from dementia? There's so many different paths that can go down. And so that's why people don't have that conversation, is because they don't realize what honest, true aging is going to be like, and the debility that's going to be created with it. Now, honest disclosure, just spent time with my two adult kids and the family up in Woodland Park over the 4th of July. And I need to have, my wife and I need to have that conversation with our two daughters.
Sure.
And it's one of those things where we need to do it now. But I know that as things change, we're going to have the conversation again. And it involves being honest and open about physicality, what we can and can't do, emotionally what's going on, but also being honest about what's our financial situation.
Sure.
Because we've set up a society where our social service system is based off of capitalism. And the services that you get is based off of how much or how little money you have. That's just the honest reality
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. And it's tied directly to getting care or not getting care. We've talked about that for years. You know, the ability to age in place, the ability to receive long-term care is 100%. I mean, if you could think it up, you can have it. The barrier to care is financial, though.
Right.
And oftentimes there's a gap in between the social services that we have in place that might be covered financially and the ability to pay for it privately. That's a huge segment I still see continuing to grow.
Yep.
You know, typical fashion, I always ask and I always want to clarify, you know, who or what is a family caregiver?
So a family caregiver is, it can be blood, which would be family. So it could be an adult child. It could be an adult grandchild. It could be a niece, a nephew. It could be a sister or a brother. But it could also be the caring neighbor who lives across the street. It could be the group of friends that you have at church, at your faith community. It's the person, basically, who is providing support, providing help, but is not getting paid to do that.
Right. And we know, I think the statistics still hold true to this day. You know, as we get older, they say upwards of 70% of those 65 and older either need or will need some form of care or assistance as they age. 80% of that care is provided by unpaid family caregivers.
Yep.
And that still holds true. If not, it's probably tilting more that direction as our population continues to age.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsors, and we will come back and rejoin Kent and Greg in a moment.
There's one place in Colorado Springs for all of your medical needs, and that's Affordable Medical Supply. Affordable Medical Supply is easy to find at the corner of Circle and Constitution. They carry wheelchairs, walkers, knee scooters, full electric hospital beds, mobility equipment, lift chairs, and much, much more, even the harder to find items. Visit their showroom today on the corner of Circle and Constitution, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., or give Affordable Medical Supply a call today at 719-632-4036. Our friends at Gentle Shepherd Home Care let seniors stay safe and independent in their own home. As we get older, a little bit of help goes a long way, whether it's a friendly face checking in or someone to help with daily tasks like bathing or dressing, meal preparation, and more. If you're looking for options to assist yourself or an aging loved one stay safe at home, Gentle Shepherd Home Care is Colorado Springs' premier and locally owned senior care provider. Give our friends at Gentle Shepherd Home Care a call today at 719-359-8371. Affordable Medical Supply is Colorado Springs' one-stop shop for all of your medical needs. Affordable Medical Supply is easy to find on the corner of Circle and Constitution, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. From post-op supplies, compression socks, bathroom safety, braces, scooters, wheelchairs, and more, Affordable Medical Supply has a knowledgeable staff that leaves you feeling confident on how to use your equipment right. Visit Affordable Supply today or give them a call at 719-632-4036. Affordable Medical Supply.
Welcome back to Senior Talk. I am your host, Dan Wilson, and we are going to jump right back into the conversation with Kent Matthews with the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments, Area Agency on Aging, Family Caregiver Support Network, and Greg Koopman.
You know, Kent, when we had you on last month, you know, we talked about caregiving and the fact that caregiving, I was going to say family caregiving, but really caregiving in general is transformational.
Yes.
Is this transformation, or is it transformational for both the caregiver and the care recipient?
Yes.
Okay.
This also expands to paid caregivers as well, your staff at Heartfelt Care at Home, because this impacts them. It impacted me. This is where I learned it, was as a hospice social worker.
Sure.
Because it impacted me. But what I saw is it's like the caregiver and the care receiver are in a dance.
Okay.
How the transformation, whether it's positive or negative, depends on the awareness that both the caregiver and the care receiver have. And so that transformation can be negative. It could be positive. It could be a combination of both, where it's going well and then it goes bad, or it's going bad and then it goes well. But it's this constant interacting in the dance. And as in a, you know, a typical dance, you've got somebody who needs to lead. Well, sometimes the care receiver's leading. Sometimes the caregiver's leading. Sometimes both want to lead, and that's when they're stepping on each other's feet, and that's when the pain comes. But it's this integral dance, and it's transformative for both.
That makes perfect sense. And, you know, life, you know, you like to say, you know, there's different stages in life, especially right. as it relates to transformational caregiving.
Right.
Tell us about these different stages.
So, and this is not original with me. It goes back to Carl Jung and then also Father Richard Rohr, who wrote a wonderful book called Falling Upward. But Jung was the first psychologist who identified that there's basically two stages of life. There's the doing stage and the being stage. The doing stage is what we're most comfortable with. It's what, as parents, we train our kids to do. You've got to be in control of your finances and the work that you do, the relationships, your careers, your destiny. It's all about doing this. And it's basically how we describe ourselves. When we go to any kind of an event and we introduce ourselves, we explain who we are by what we do. The being part is that what I call the soul part of us. The being part is that part where we give up control. And that's what makes the being part so difficult. And this doing and being is not about age in life. Because life events are always trying to shift us out of the doing into the being. Our life events want us to learn from what we do. And the only way we can learn from what we do is by pausing and getting comfortable with who we be. And so we're constantly doing that. Childhood, young adulthood, adulthood, aging is all about this constant dance back and forth between doing and being. But the being part is... rather than doing, it involves that we have to unlearn what we learned. We have to be willing to let go and be quiet to get connected to the being. And caregivers, oftentimes, initially, all of us do this, I do this. When they're called into the caregiving, it's all about the doing. I got to do this, and this. Believing that, because society teaches us, if I do all of this, we're going to fix it. Yeah. And then we can keep what we've always had. But that's not really the way life works.
No, it's not. And you think the difficulty switching to that, at least the focus of the being mode, right, mm-hmm. is more difficult because we put so much emphasis, stress, pressure, reliance. We're defined by what we do.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, we're defined by what we do. Which is going to make it incredibly hard to change.
So, yeah. So here's the other question. And I was giving a shortened version of this, what we're talking about, to Stephen ministers at First Presbyterian last night. But have you ever introduced yourself by telling people who you be? Hi, I'm Greg Koopman. I'm kind. I'm generous. I'm loving. I'm, you know, whatever. We don't do that.
No.
We talk about what we do. And part of the reason we don't introduce ourselves by being is because we've been trained not to do that, because that sounds self-centered and narcissistic. Who are you to believe that you can, you know, you're all of that? And so that's the main reason we don't do it. And so we've got to compartmentalize, but we don't live with it. And caregiving, in order to do it well, disrupts our life and creates what I call initiation rites, which then strip us. That's the whole purpose of an initiation rite. An initiation rite for life are things like divorce and failed relationships, substance abuse, accidents, bankruptcy, disease and sickness, where we really get stripped of everything that we do, which then lays us bare, and we're going, what the crap?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah.
Because everything that I used to identify myself is gone, and I can't necessarily get that back. And that's where some of the stress between the caregiver and the care receiver comes, because the caregiver wants that back.
Yeah, They want to fix it. Like it, you said, it's that instinct to fix it.
Yeah.
And we want to go back to the way that it was. But I think we've established that caregiving is going to change you, like it or not. It's
exactly.
going to happen.
Exactly.
So here's the question. Is it better to fight, surrender, or embrace the changes that caregiving is going to create?
So the answer to that is yes, depending on the phase that the caregiving is in. Because if the care receiver is fighting it, the worst thing a caregiver could do is fight them in fighting it. Surrender isn't all that bad, depending. So because surrender is one way to think about surrendering, and when I had my cancer diagnosis with my prostate, I mentally found myself surrendering, but the vision I had in my head was basically like this trust fall, where I just said, okay, and I fell backwards, knowing that something, somebody was going to catch me.
Sure.
And so surrendering's not bad. And then there's the embracing. And the embracing is that middle ground where you go through the fight, you go through the surrender, and that allows you to have some insight where you can then embrace and say, this is the reality of the current situation. Let's work with it and deal with it.
What you just described was the dance that
yes.
we're having.
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly
yes.
what it is. And it's a dance between those things, the fighting, the surrendering, and the embracing.
Yes.
You know, we talked earlier in today's show about that feeling of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm supposed to do this. I have to do this. We've learned that it's okay to say no.
Right.
But, you know, the real question is it the responsibility of the caregiver to fix the problems or scenarios that are caused by the disease or that aging process?
No. Because the caregiver doesn't have the ability to do that.
Even if we want to.
Even if we wanted to. Because we can't fix the disease. Which is why it's progressed, because doctors are having a difficult time fixing it. So
sure.
why do we think we can fix it? Our responsibility, or the responsibility of family members who are in that caregiving role, is to be on the journey with their family member, to walk the path with them, to be that person who can, if there's limitations in terms of thought processing or physical limitations, to say, let's look at how we can do things differently so that this journey goes as well as possible. But it's not about fixing anything. It's being on that journey.
Okay. Now, relationships obviously are very important. How do relationships really come together and play a factor in caregiving? I mean, how do our actions change our relationships? And really, is it the responsibility of the caregiver to heal those relationships with whatever bumps or causes or friction that's caused in those relations? Is it our responsibility to heal that?
No, it's not our responsibility to heal. The responsibility is to experience it to the fullest, both the care receiver and the caregiver and other family members on the fringe, to experience it to the fullest. And based on that, let the relationship find its new level. Okay. I'm not sure if this is going to help people understand, but as a hospice social worker, I saw adult children who would come to visit, and mom and dad were very close to their death. I mean, they were basically confined to bed and were coming in and out of consciousness and everything. And the adult children would say, I can't go in and see mom that way. I just can't see dad that way. And when, why? And thinking about it, it was because they, as the adult kids, were still in that doing mode. They wanted to, they couldn't see mom and dad in the state of being.
Right.
They valued mom and dad, all the memories of what they did, which underneath there was the being. But they were focused on all of that doing rather than being able to go in and sit down at the bedside and just not say anything or do anything and just sit quietly and focus on the love, between their parent and themselves. I saw caregivers who couldn't sit quietly. They had to do something. So they held mom and dad's, they held their parents' hand, and they were patting it or they were rubbing it,
yep.
which was stimulation that mom and dad really didn't need at that time, but they felt that they had to be doing something.
Sure.
That's how deep and subtle this goes. Rather than just sitting there and being quiet and touching, but not moving.
Sure. That makes perfect sense. You have to be aware that this is an experience, though.
Yes.
Yes. The only way I see this working effectively for family caregivers is, I mean, we have to take it for what it is, and what it is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity to grow, to transform, to embrace, you know, everything. You know, if it's an opportunity, how can I make myself be okay with that? Right? There may not be an answer there, but like, what tips do you have for me to embrace this experience? Like, I'm sitting there like, human nature, I want to fix something, I want to do something, I have to do, but do I post the sticky note in front of me when I wake up in the morning? Like, you are on the caregiving journey with your loved one. Embrace it. It's an opportunity. Period. It's going
yes.
to change you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That those are however you do that. Okay. The reason I'm kind of hesitating and I haven't really processed that is because there's a subtle, your question has a subtle, what can I do to?
Yeah, now I'm still doing, I'm not being.
Yes, 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 yes. And it's those moments where you just have those breakdowns where you're crying or you're angry or, and you have to go through those emotions. That's the other thing about our society is because we teach us you don't cry, or
got to be strong. You got to hold it together.
Exactly. Okay, but in order to really be with somebody, you've got to go through those emotions in order to be with them, and they've got to go through the emotions as well. Which is why oftentimes, you know, when care receivers get angry or upset, that's a good thing. Because they're going through those feelings, which they have to do in order to just be with each other. So it's not something to do to get there. It's something, again, you've got experience, but you got to dance with, as Jung would call it, you got to dance with your shadow self. The ugly parts that we always keep in the closets. And once we feel comfortable with those, and our care receivers are doing the same thing. Real quickly, I always marveled at when I would doing hospice work and I would go in and the kids would say, first thing, they would see hospice on my name badge and say, could you take that off when you go in before you go in and see dad? Because we don't want him to know he's on hospice care because we don't want him to give up, kind of a thing. So I'd play the game. And probably on my third visit, you know, still playing the game, I would go in and sit down and talk to dad, and dad would look at me, and then he'd look around the room to make sure none of the kids were within earshot, and he'd go, do you know I'm on hospice care? I say, no, really?
I had no idea.
And everybody's doing this dance because they want to avoid the emotions. That's not helping anybody be in that state of being.
Sure.
And that's why you've got to confront those emotions, live through them, as hard and as difficult it will be. To cry, to laugh, to go through all of that.
Fantastic. Kent Matthews, we're talking caregiving, a journey that transforms. If you go online to Pillar, right, so PILLARInstitute.org, you're going to find the information for the educational series that Kent's doing on exactly this information. Kent, we are running out of time, as we always do. It goes like that.
Not surprising.
Before we go, let's get your contact information out. Anybody who has any questions or needs guidance or wants to talk to you, how can our friends, our listeners, to get in touch with Kent Matthews and your team at the Area Agency on Aging?
So they can get a hold of me and my team by calling 719 471-2096. That's also the same phone number that's on the front of the yellow book that we publish. Yep. And then I'm at extension 115. So that's the phone number. My email address is the first letter of my first name, so it's the letter K, and then Matthews, M-A-T-H-E-W-S, at ppacg.org. And so you can send me an email. You can give me a phone call. Would love to talk with you in more detail about this or any other issues about caregiving.
There are some conversations when you listen to them, you kind of feel like you're sitting and listening to a sage communicate to you tips that you've been looking for. And every time Ken Matthews is on this show, I feel like there's pieces of that. This is Dan Wilson, your host of Senior Talk again, thanking you for taking your time listening to Senior Talk on KRDO 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. Senior Talk is brought to you in part by Affordable Medical Supply, available at affordablemedmart.com and 719-632-4036, as well as Gentle Shepherd Home Care, available at gshc.com or 719-359-8371. This is Dan Wilson. Thank you again for joining us on Senior Talk. Please join us again this and every Saturday at 10, Sunday at 8, and Monday on your favorite podcast